Okay. Very good. Well, it's excellent to be here today. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. We're going to have some prayer about that at the end. And what I want to do this morning is to keep going with seeing who Jesus is. Just seeing his character and the way that he operates and what he does. And as you may recall, well, maybe you don't. That's all right. I'm going to see that right now. I promised you I would start with a quiz today. So here it comes. And I've already given you the answer, by the way.
Yay!
Okay, what is Jesus doing right at this moment? He's praying. That's right. He's praying. He's praying for you and me. He's praying that his kingdom would be extended. In fact, we celebrated the Ascension on Thursday, which, of course, we each did in our own way. We didn't gather here. Nonetheless, that's where he went to sit at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to give intercession. That means he's praying right now. So, somebody took my iPad and wrote something in there. That was probably me. So he's praying. And the second thank you. Okay. The second thing is we agreed to be an answer to his prayers. If he's praying for you and me, we agree to be an answer to his prayers. Plus what the gospel talked about today, he is praying that sort of thing right now, which is, I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that's us, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. You and I are an answer to that prayer. Part of the result of that prayer is that the world will believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And that happens through our lives, through us being an answer to his prayer. Now, later what we'll do is take a look at how to agree with what Jesus is praying. Which, by the way, is a really good idea. I mean, Jesus is a good prayer, isn't he? He probably gets his prayers answered. So we agree with his prayer, and you know, we're on a really good track right there. And we'll take a closer look at that later. Some of you are already beginning to catch that, already beginning to experience what the prayers of Jesus are. Some of you are probably having dreams, and you get up in the morning and say, well, that was something. And then you may forget it, or it may come back to you later, or even months later. That's part of Jesus letting you in on what he's praying. Just as an aside, the great thing about dreams from God is that you can't tell God, oh, no, that just couldn't be the case. No, because you're sound asleep. You're not going to be talking to anybody. That's why he talks to you then.
What if you only dream about worries?
That's all right, Joan. Okay, one more brief aside. What if you only dream about worries? There are about 20 categories of dreams in the scriptures. One of them is healing dreams. If you're dreaming about your worries and it's in color, that's the Spirit of God touching you in that place. And that's such an excellent... You and I didn't talk about this?
No, we did not. I'll take my $5.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right. Next week...
When I wake up, it's always a wild dream. And I said to my husband, I just had a wildest dream. He goes, what's new?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Tell me something I don't know. Yeah, right. Yeah. No, next Sunday, actually, absolutely next Sunday, one of the things we're going to look at is how the perfect love of God casts out all fear. And what you do about that. We're actually going to make a list of our fears and see how God casts them out. It's going to be a great Sunday next week. As today is. Okay. What were we talking about? Oh no, Jesus is the prayer. Now today what I want to do is look at why you and I are the answer to Jesus' prayer. Why, when he is praying, he sees us as the answer to what he is praying. And there's a reason for that, a result that demonstrates that, and a reality from which it flows. A reason, a result, and a reality. That's pretty good, wasn't it, Sonny? They all start with R like that, so you can remember. That's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. There's only three.
Yeah, there's only three. That's right. All right. This is my first sermon, I'm telling you. Okay. Now, the reason for it is this. Why you were a prayer, an answer to the prayer of Jesus, it's so that that answer will be different from you being of help to someone. Now, it's always good to be of help to someone, and when you are, the person might come along and say, "You are an answer to my prayers." Now, that's always good. It's always excellent, in fact. It's always the thing to do. What you hope to be is an answer to somebody's prayers. But that is different from being an answer to the prayer of Jesus. You are an answer to the prayer of Jesus when something about you sparks belief in another person. Because that only comes from God. A person will believe only because of what God does in them. A person will say yes to your invitation only because of what God does in them. And you are being an answer to what Jesus has prayed when something about belief starts sparking within them. That's what he prayed here in the gospel. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Your relationship with Jesus is at the core something that transforms you more into his likeness. And then you become more of what you were created to be because of your relationship with Jesus. The more deeply you know him, the more you become who you were created to be, the more the potential of that sparking belief in another person increases. Now, I don't know about you, I just find it to be a tremendously great relief. Because I don't have to make somebody believe. That's God's work. What I am is faithful to what God has given me and my response to God and my love for other people. And then what they would do is between them and God. I might have the absolutely best theological answer to their objection that has ever been written in the history of the Christian church, and they may not come to believe because of that incredibly insightful answer. Because it has to be the touch of the Spirit of God upon their heart. That's how you know you've been an answer to the prayer of Jesus. Something about that interchange begins sparking that belief. You become an answer to the prayer of Jesus when people start believing. In other words, the kingdom is extended through you. Not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus is doing through you. Okay, think about that. Now, there's a result that demonstrates it. And you've probably noticed in our culture that there are barriers to people embracing the faith. And there's barriers that have been becoming stronger and stronger over the years. And what even 10 years ago was, there was no barrier. Today there's a very high barrier to that, and there's all kinds of things like that. The first barrier we usually hit when we're doing something Christian, inviting somebody to come, whatever it may be, is cynicism. Now, they might be nice, but they're still cynical. They might still be your friend, but they're going to say, oh. Inside they're saying, did you know? No way. Right. Or whatever it may be. Or they might mock you. Or all kinds of things could happen. And that will increase. It's only going to increase. I pray not, but it probably will. There are ways that you know that cynicism is overcome. Let me give you an example. One of the things we experimented with at my last church in Phoenix was to have a group pursuing mission focus is what we called it.
And there was a woman who came to me, one of our regular members, had an adult son with autism. And she had started a social group for this, for him and his friends, because he was 21, aged out of all the programs and so forth, a story many of you are familiar with. And she said, that's going great, we enjoy each other, we really like it, but they have nowhere where they can actually worship. If I bring him to a church, it's usually a little too difficult because it's not sensory sensitive. There'll be things going on that will be very difficult for these young men to really handle. And they may need to get up and walk around or whatever. All kinds of things. He says, I wish they had a place to worship. I immediately said, well, they do now. And we began finding the ways to design a sensory sensitive worship, which was more patterns than ideas, stimulation, and so forth. And we didn't succeed too much at that. That's a different story. Nonetheless, when I would share with people what was going on at our church, for example, I was meeting with the senior warden at lunch one time, and the waitress came up to me beforehand and says, you know, you kind of look like a pastor. I had my t-shirt on, it said Skull Valley, Arizona. I don't know what was going on with that. Nonetheless, she said, I said, well, yes, I am. Do you go to church? Yes, I go to this church over here. And she says, what about your church? Well, one of the things that we're doing is we're forming these groups. And one of these groups is so that young men with autism can come to worship. And she said, you're doing that. It's incredible. I told her about another group we were starting, which was visiting people in nursing homes that no one ever visited. And they said, no one in our area dies alone. I started running after that. Every time I shared something like that, a wall of cynicism came down. And they were just a little more open, a little more ready. And even if it was a Christian who was having a difficulty in their church for whatever reason, this particular woman had been divorced, and the church was a little too conservative in their approach towards that sort of thing, and she was just getting cynical, and the cynicism just came down when they heard of people who were being answers to the prayer of Jesus. Now, your life might not be quite like that, but it might be. But at this moment, if you went out and just shared with somebody something that Jesus was doing within you, you might see cynicism start to crumble. Now, that's a very important thing. Because it's very easy for us to be thinking our Sunday time together is for the renewal of the church, as it should be. But there's another thing that it needs to address, and that is the cynicism of the culture. If you would ask Jesus, just agree with me as you go along, think about it day by day, asking Jesus to do things within our fellowship here at St. Francis that actually counter the cynicism of the culture towards the faith. We'll not only be an answer to the prayer of Jesus, but we'll see some things happen we may not have never even thought of. You know, I've mentioned to you before, you just don't get any cooler than St. Francis, do you? This is as cool as you can get. And somebody who's cynical doesn't care about that. They could be very impressed, but they say, okay, that's nice. But the cynicism comes down when you're an answer to the prayer of Jesus. Okay, let's keep going. Otherwise, we'll miss our Mother's Day lunch. So, the reality from which this flows is this. You and I being in Jesus, that's the reality from which it flows. It is not having a sharp enough mission statement. It is not having a killer strategic plan, although those are very, very helpful. Extremely helpful, and you got to have them. I'm not
criticizing them. I'm just saying it doesn't come from that. What the ability to be an answer from the prayer of Jesus comes from being in Jesus. He's calling you to be with him. It's the first call to any person. Come and be with me. Come and follow me. When he called the 12, the first thing he asked them to do was, come be with me tonight, all night. And that's what he's asking you to do. From there, what you start seeing is what he sees. And then you start believing what he believes. And you start doing what he does. Now, that's a different thing than believing in Jesus. A lot of people believe things about Jesus. They might believe in Jesus and so forth. But you are called to get to the place where you believe the very things Jesus believes. That you share that set of beliefs that he has. And he believes things like this. The day is coming when there's no more crying, no more mourning, no more death, no more sickness, no more hunger, no more brokenness. He believes that and he pursues it and he asks you and I to believe it too. Every time a wall of cynicism comes down, every time you offer a hungry person something to eat, every time a relationship is healed, that is the sign of the day that's coming when that will be no more. You get to that belief. That belief starts to hold you when you are in Jesus. And out of that relationship, out of that depth of relationship with him, starts flowing you being the answer to his prayer, which is what he's looking for, what he wants all the time. See, it's already, as you know, he already accepts you. It's not just to do the right thing so that you'll be okay with him. He looks at you just as you are and says, I want you to be with me. I don't care what happened yesterday or up to now. I want you to be with me. And that starts putting you into the position to be the answer to that prayer, to be connected to him daily. In other words, he calls you to be like him. And what he's calling you to do is to die daily. It's that daily death that makes you an answer to the prayer, that knocks down the wall of cynicism that's in our culture. By the way, a lot of people will say, well, that's my cross to bear, as if it's kind of pain that you have. But you know, the cross is an instrument of death. It's not an instrument of annoyance. It's just not something that you go to and then afterwards you say, oh, I'm glad that's over. You die. When you go to a cross, you die. When you do that because you're following Jesus and you get to the other side where you're raised to new life, you're an answer to his prayer. And the things that he's looking for the extension of his kingdom begin happening more and more. Okay, I want to ask you to do a couple of things, and I'll bet you have a general idea of what they are. Okay, I know a few of you do. All right, good. So let me remind the rest of you. What is God telling you about this, and what does God want you to do? Now, I want to give you an additional layer to that. See, we do this answering of these two questions best with a few other people. So you remain connected to him by hearing what he's telling you and then acting on it. That's abiding in Jesus. That's what you bear this fruit that people just love. Remaining connected to him by asking him, what are you telling me? What do you want me to do? When you do that with a few other people, so that they can uphold you with it, they can encourage you, you go a little more deeply into that abiding. What is God telling you about that? About sharing with a few others what he's telling you and what he wants you to do about it. that's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me. I have a kind of introverted personality type, and I don't always like sharing that kind of thing. So don't ask me to be your partner. No, no, I'm just But as we started out with Joan's question about the dreams, what I don't like, what I'm uncomfortable with, that's where God meets me. And he overcomes that. He casts out any fear, any resistance. That's why it comes to the surface, because he's going to meet me there. And he's going to take me to the place that he has already prepared for me. And that's what he'll do with you. And a few others that help you get there makes it all the stronger, all the better, all the richer. So if you do that, if you just be talking to Jesus about, what is it you're telling me about what you want me to do? That could be a thing for your dreams. What are you telling me? Okay, what do I do about that? That's the cycle of the Christian life. And in a couple of weeks, we'll see how it's the cycle of the Christian year also. All right, I just have this. If I had any good sense, I'd say let's stop now going to the creed, but I just have this little tap on the shoulder. Do you want to ask any questions about any of this right now?
Yes.
I don't have a question. I just want to make a statement. Go ahead. Ladies first.
No, I just know we have questions. I was just saying yes. There are questions.
You guys are killing me, you know this?
Okay. Just what you mentioned about bearing the cross, it seemed to me at that moment when you said that, it's just all about that, you know, it's being able to bear the cross and get to the other side, you know, and it just, that's what dawned on me and what it's about.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Great.
That's
thank
my
you. Yes. Okay, thank you, sir. It's all right if you don't have any questions. It usually takes me 2 or 3 days to think of the question that's going around, personally. Bobby.
Well, I guess in the beginning you said something about it being, it's nice when we help people, but it's about, and I'm not sure I heard this correctly, was it about getting out of the way and letting God do something for that person?
Oh, yeah. Okay, excellent. Yeah, thanks for just revisiting that point. If you help somebody and they say, gosh, you're an answer to my prayers, that's a great thing, absolutely great thing. And the only point I was trying to make was that's a different thing from being an answer to the prayer of Jesus. Yeah. So if somebody's in need and they're praying, oh, God, you got to help me. And you come along and there you are. That's great, and you've helped that person. Now, it could be something that's going on where their belief increases or so forth or so on or whatever. That may be. But it may not. It just may not. Whereas if you're the answer to the prayer of Jesus, it is always an extension of the kingdom. That's how you know, that it is. Is that helpful?
Yeah. I have a situation in my life, so I'm trying to discern what that's about.
Yeah, very good. Okay. Great. Okay, we've had one for... Oh, all right.
I think she just, you know, as you say all these things, but she just said, you know, praying for discernment. I think there's all... God's saying a whole lot of things. So I miss it. And
sure, that's right.
It's
excellent.
The discernment, that's huge.
Right. That's right. Listening to Jesus. That's the deal. Richard.
So how would you really know?
Okay, Richard wants that to is asking, how would you really know that you're an answer to the prayer of Jesus? And I mean, the best I can give you this morning is those two general kinds of descriptions, and one is some higher level of belief was sparked in that in another person in some way, or the kingdom was extended in some way. and those signs, those general signs. You know, he gave that list to John the Baptist, who was beginning to doubt. He says, well, how do we know? Go ask Jesus, how do we know you're the one? He says this: the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. And blessed is he who's not offended because of me. It's things like that that you see that you know that this is probably an answer to the prayer of Jesus. Is that helpful?
Yeah, no, I was, if you don't mind a quick anecdote, we had an au pair look after my daughter many, many years ago, which we honestly think was something from Jesus. It was just something came into our life that... Yeah. We were on the path, I believe, but it was just the way she was.
Yeah.
I was thinking, my gosh, she is God.
Excellent example. Yeah. Okay. Great. Was there more? Okay. Well, with that, let's stand and profess our faith.